Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. This midweek miracle episode is brought courtesy of Chinoa Inez. And she's kind of this fabulous human being who's here to let us know that we can all survive great loss, great heartbreak, as well as events that happen in our lives that seem so insurmountable, yet somehow the human spirit ultimately triumphs every single time. She's an author. She is an advanced meditator, and she's clearly, as you'll hear, someone who is very used to mystical and magical things happening in her life. Suffice it to say, you know, another BFF, right? I keep meeting these people that are just incredible in the world and are so beautiful and doing such good work, and Chinoa is no exception. All right, without further ado, here's my conversation with the delightful Chinoa.
Two retreats ago, which some months ago, I started, it was in May. So I had my first out-of-body experience, and it was amazing. And then it happened, the next retreat. It didn't happen at the retreat, but it happened on the plane on the way to the retreat. So it was interesting. I was living in Florida. I was in, I think I was in middle school by that point time. Yeah, in that house. And for some reason, there were a lot of family over, and I think some family friends. Everybody went outside for some reason. I don't know if it was a holiday, but everybody went to the front yard. I was supposed to be going out there too, and I don't know what I was looking for. And so I was the only one in the house, like, and I went to my mother's room, and her room was like, the door for her room was like right here. And then the front door is there. So I went in and I saw a figure, and it was a completely all black figure, and it stopped. It was bent over her Bible that was, she always kept open next to her bed, and just bent like that. And I went this, and I was like, in shock, and it like turned toward me. There's no face, no features, just this outline shape of a person. Yeah. And looks at me. And I just like, and I was like, at first it just frozen, you know, and then I started crying and I ran outside and I told everyone what happened and everybody believed me. I was just so nervous and I was afraid to stay home alone for a while. Which is funny because I always used to watch like, you know, scary movies as a child. And I always wanted to see like, you know, I'm like, I want to see a UFO or something. But I was so terrified. But it was really interesting that they're looking, you know, at the Bible. But I kept thinking about it years later. And I was thinking, you know, after a while, I just didn't think it was anything, you know, bad, you know, nothing malevolent. I was just, it was just so shocking. But the fact that they were bent over that Bible to me also made me feel like, no, this is a good being, whatever it is. And that it didn't expect to startle me because it thought everybody was outside. So I have, you know, it's a wild story.
I would have been so terrified, especially if I was a kid. Oh my gosh. what I especially just adore about that story is you went, you told a bunch of people and they're all like, oh yeah, yeah, that yeah. We believe you, you know, that's actually kind of unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm lucky in that way because, you know, I use this as my pen name, you know, this is my middle name actually. And that's the first name of my great grandmother, my grandmother's mother, who was a midwife. And there seems to be like my mother saw her after she passed, you know. So there are a lot of things that, you know, people have seen things in my family. So they've had some experiences with people who have crossed over. So, yeah, that was nice because it would have been horrible to be terrified like that. And someone just sends you into your room. That would be terrifying. Yeah. So at least, you know, there was comfort.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like you have some seriously powerful women in your family.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about it like that because I had a lot of disconnection with my family over the years growing up. It was very difficult, and then I moved out very young. So it was complicated in that way. But I have noticed that recently, last time I went to visit my family, my sister started talking to me about these things. And she's like, "Do you think we inherited more of the heightened intuition from our grandmother and our great grandmother?" And she started telling me stories. And then I spoke with my grandmother. You know, I was kind of very busy as I usually am, and I'm in Florida because there's so many people to see, and I'm just kind of like left and right. And I remember one day I was just staying at my sister's house, which is near my grandmother. So I just had like 20 minutes to see her, and then I was going to come back later. So I didn't know what to do because I was like, I have to, like, I'm looking at the clock. So I just sat next to her on her bed, and we're just looking out the window, and I don't say anything. And I'm just like taking the 20 minutes, and she just starts talking. And it's just like all these very mystical stories. And I was like, what? It's a mystical experience. And she doesn't have that language, like to call it mystical. She didn't know what that, terminology is. And then I realized, okay, yeah, that's exactly what she's talking about. So I got 20 minutes of that. And I was like, oh, why did I have to leave? So yeah, there's definitely that in my family. And I've only recently really actually started thinking about that connection.
Wow, that's a legacy right there. You know, I mean, I would say it's a legacy, but it's also an invitation, right? To step into that familial kind of those gifts, because now you more concretely know after her telling you about her experiences that these things are possible, in your line. And so I don't know, I would be both scared and excited at the same time.
I don't have any fear about it anymore. I've had so many mystical experiences in the last couple of years when I was seeking them, but I know you can't like force it. But once it started happening, now it just happens very easily. I do an advanced form of meditation, and when I go to the retreats, I have so many mystical experiences. It's just like wild every time. The last one I went to, I had to ask them how to ground myself because I felt like I was still out of my body when I was walking around on this break time. So they gave me some dark chocolate and, some electrolytes. And then I came back for a little bit more because I was still a little. And then I got used to that feeling and I was able to ground myself. And then I just kept going deeper.
Wow.
So I do like it. Yeah.
I love that you're just grabbing the bull by the horns and you're just like, I'm gonna. Also, what I love is that this is so similar to your saint's life, right? She leaves and is, goes off on her own adventure in Constantinople. You leave and go on your own adventure to Montenegro. Then, life happens, different experiences happen. She's having visions and having these experiences that are very, very mystical. You're having visions and experiences that are, I
Oh
mean,
my
you two are
gosh.
like two peas in a pod.
This is wild. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, you're leaving me with a lot to think about too.
I mean, the parallels are striking, actually.
Yeah, when you lined up like that, wow. Yeah, nothing is coincidence. I don't believe in the word and,
Yeah.
but I one part, I think it's really fun to have mystical experiences, but I don't get scared because I always feel this strong connection to the divine. If it was anything else, I wouldn't want to see it. So that's what makes me, not nervous. I know it can be very scary for some people. But I just don't have that feeling. I've always had this like overwhelming, reassuring, loving feeling. So even if something's strange, I just kind of relax and don't judge.
Yeah, beautiful. We need more people to feel that way and understand the world in that way. I think, did you say you have another story you want to
Oh
share? Oh,
yeah,
I'd
I
love to
have
hear it.
time. So I two retreats ago, which some months ago, I started. Actually, it was actually in May. So I had my first out of body experience, and it was amazing. And then it happened. The next retreat, it didn't happen at the retreat, but it happened on the plane on the way to the retreat. So I thought, wow. And then it happened actually right before the retreat. It was after registration, I went to take a nap and I left my body again. And I said, this is amazing. So the last retreat in October. I'm confusing. I have so many this year. December in San Diego. There was a moment where this can happen sometimes. People were meditating in the room and a man just started laughing. We were in the lay down portion with our eyes closed and his laugh was so comical. Everybody exploded. And, you know, I laughed with him for a while and then I made myself stop and I thought, all right, I want to focus here. I want to stay like in the zone, you know? And I thought, right before this meditation started, to give context, it was the first time I've seen Dr. Joe do this. He showed slides of examples of different types of mystical experiences, because this was one meditation that was kind of preparing us for the pineal gland meditation the next day early in the morning. And it was a week-long retreat, so there were a lot of people who, that's their first retreat. So we're like leading up to, building up on the knowledge. So I remember there was a picture of a woman in a white nightgown laying on her bed and her gold soul is coming out of her. And the example was out of body experience. And I thought, could I now, with everyone laughing, could I, one, not laugh? And two, could I just like leave my body? And it was just like a question I posed and I relaxed and I pictured that gold soul and it happened to me. Not only did it happen to me, the meditation finished. Dr. Joe made a joke when he closed the meditation since everyone was laughing. They laughed more. He starts giving instructions for the next meditation and for the break. And I am still out of my body. I eventually am able to sit up and I still have my meditation blindfold on. I'm now sitting with my legs cross-leg style. And, you know, I'm still here. I'm sitting up, but I'm here. And eventually, like, people are packing up to go on the break. And it takes me a while to get out of it. And I was just like, what happened? Like, I literally just ask, and I'll say like a practical 3D thing I learned from that. I said, from now on, I'm just going to ask everything I want. Just ask, see what's going to happen. So I'll do that in meditations, but also, you know, different opportunities, you know, whatever it is, like a family dynamic, a friend dynamic, just ask, see what happens. It felt like such a loving gift from the divine. I didn't think that was going to happen. And I didn't, I thought I would need like, you know, many decades more of experience to be able to do that. Yeah.
I love how you just, you know, you're telling the story and then you just gloss over like, and then I had an out of body experience before I even got there on the plane. And then I had an out of body experience, you know, and I was like, wait, what? What? Okay. So was the out of body experience on the plane the first one you'd ever had?
No. So the first one was in May, the retreat in Washington, D.C. And it was interesting because, wow, I always wanted to have one. And what is great is a lot of the meditations, there's a lie down portion. So we'll like have a sheet or a yoga mat in front of our chairs. And that is because we're the autonomic nervous system. So it can absorb all that information you gave it. You're not just jumping up now and getting a sandwich or something. So that lay down portion, you lay on your back. So I usually have my sneakers off. I'll have socks on for that. And I was kind of scrambling to be ready when the meditation started. So I still had my sneakers on. And I remembered I went really deep somewhere in that lay down portion. But I remember distinctly, it was an awkward feeling because my sneakers, I could feel the angle they were on, the heels on the ground. And there was a moment, even though I was like so far gone in the meditation, I realized I don't feel my sneakers. And then when I realized that, I came back into my sneakers and I realized I was not there. So I told a new friend at the retreat, she's a friend of a friend, and she said, oh, well, now it's going to happen to me all the time. It happens to me all the time. And I said, okay. It didn't happen again until that next retreat. And that happened on the plane ride there. And then for the registration, you know, after registration, before the retreat started. So it just started happening a lot. But now that was like the new level of it. So I really nerd out on this because I wasn't really glossing over it. I just didn't know how much time we had. So I didn't want to go through all those steps. But to me, it just feels like such a gift because it's like a peek into what we really are, what's happening behind the curtain, you know.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation and her sense of humor, her intelligence, and her grace. There will be a link in the episode show notes to all sorts of goodies, her website, her book. So, you know, do yourself a favor and click on those links and meet another incredible human being who's bringing such beauty to the world. I frankly can't imagine the level of loss that she's experienced. It's kind of beyond my comprehension, but I think she is one of the rare examples of someone who kept going despite the tragedy, despite the heartbreak, and has found life and beauty and abundance on the other side. So I think we can all look at Chenoa and know what's possible for us. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I so appreciate it. If you could find it in your hearts to give me a rating or a review, I would be ever so grateful. Please do consider rating or reviewing because it helps other people find this labor of love of mine. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Chenoa. I mean, she just absolutely walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And by that, I mean through a period of life that was so dark and so sad and so surprising that sometimes you can't see out on the other side. But she kept going and she kept walking and she had faith that all ultimately would be well. So be like Chenoa, and if you have things that happen, and if you too experience an event that breaks your heart, just know that there is life and abundance on the other side of it. Remember that no matter what you go through, no matter what you endure, there is something out there that is waiting for you, and it's so much bigger than you can ever imagine, and it's so much more abundant and gorgeous than you can ever possibly conceive.